In Haverford, on the Platte, the townspeople still talk of Lucy Gayheart. They do not talk of her a great deal, to be sure. Life goes on, and we live in the present. But when they do mention her name, it is with a gentle glow in the face or the voice, a confidential glance which says, "Yes, you too, remember?" They still see her as a slight figure, always in motion, dancing or skating, or walking swiftly with intense direction, like a bird flying home. When there is a heavy snowfall, the older people look out of their windows and remember how Lucy used to come darting through just such storms, her muff against her cheek, not shrinking, but giving her body to the wind as if she were catching step with it. And in the heat of summer, she came just as swiftly down the long, shaded sidewalks and across the open squares, blistering in the sun. In the breathless glare of August noons, when the horses hung their heads and the workmen took it slow, she never took it slow. Cold, she used to say, made her feel more alive. Heat must have had the same effect. The Gayhearts lived at the west edge of Haverford, half a mile from Main Street. People said, "Out to the Gayhearts," and thought it rather a long walk in summer. But Lucy covered the distance a dozen times a day, covered it quickly with that walk so peculiarly her own, like an expression of irrepressible lightheartedness. When the old women at work in their gardens caught sight of her in the distance, a mere white figure under the flickering shade of the early summer trees, they always knew her by the way she moved. On she came, past hedges and lilac bushes and woolly green grape arbors and rows of jonquils, and one knew she was delighted with everything, with her summer clothes and the air and the sun and the blossoming world. There was something in her nature that was like her movements, something direct and unhesitating and joyous, and in her golden brown eyes. They were not gentle brown eyes, but flashed with gold sparks, like that Colorado stone we call the tiger eye. Her skin was rather dark, and the color in her lips and cheeks was like the red of dark peonies, deep, velvety. Her mouth was so warm and impulsive that every shadow of feeling made a change in it. Photographs of Lucy mean nothing to her old friends. It was her gaiety and grace they loved. Life seemed to lie very near the surface in her. She had that singular brightness of young beauty. Flower gardens have it for the first few hours after sunrise. We missed Lucy in Haverford when she went away to Chicago to study music. She was 18 years old then, talented, but too careless and lighthearted to take herself very seriously. She never dreamed of a career. She thought of music as a natural form of pleasure and as a means of earning money to help her father when she came home. Her father, Jacob Gayheart, led the town band and gave lessons on the clarinet, flute and violin at the back of his watch-repairing shop. Lucy had given piano lessons to beginners ever since she was in the 10th grade. Children liked her because she never treated them like children. They tried to please her, especially the little boys. Though Jacob Gayheart was a good watchmaker, he wasn't a good manager. Born of Bavarian parents in the German colony at Belleville, Illinois, he had learned his trade under his father. He came to Haverford young and married an American wife who brought him a half section of good farmland. After her death, he borrowed money on this farm to buy another, and now they were both mortgaged. That troubled his older daughter, Pauline, but it did not trouble Mr. Gayheart. He took more pains to make the band boys practice than he did to keep up his interest payments. He was a town character, of course, and people joked about him, though they were proud of their band. Mr. Gayheart looked like an old daguerreotype of a minor German poet. He wore a mustache and goatee and had a fine sweep of dark hair above his forehead, just a little gray at the sides. His intelligent, lazy, hazel eyes seemed to say, "But it's a very pleasant world. Why bother?" He managed to enjoy every day from start to finish. He got up early in the morning and worked for an hour in his flower garden. Then he took his bath and dressed for the day, selecting his shirt and necktie as carefully as if he were going to pay a visit. After breakfast, he lit a good cigar and walked into town, never missing the flavor of his tobacco for a moment. Usually, he put a flower in his coat before he left home. No one ever got more satisfaction out of good health and simple pleasures and a blue and gold band uniform than Jacob Gayhart. He was probably the happiest man in Haverford.